We come and listen and support it. 6'6" above sea level. I grab the mic because I like to take it to another mental level. 6'6" above sea level. I grab the mic because I like to take it to another mental level. 6'6" above sea level.
I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got a year. Wow, I feel nice. The sugar runs by. I feel nice. The sugar runs by.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but with, as always, the man who knows everything, Mr. Smarty Pants.
Howdy.
Hey.
How's your holiday season
good,
going?
Good. Good. It's going well. So it's nice it's gotten warmer, so I can take Clopsy out for some nice walks.
Oh, excellent.
So he's very happy.
Clopsy's probably thinking the same thing. That. I can take this guy out for some walks.
Well, you got very bored when the snow hit, and then and it got to be 10 below, so we really couldn't go anywhere. And he got tired of romping around the driveway.
We had some fun in the place where Bob and I live. We live in an old building that's been converted into condos, and one of our condo owners was out of town, and during that extreme cold snap, one of her radiators froze and then busted.
Oh, no.
And we had like a cascade of water. We were bailing for like 3 hours.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It was. You remember that scene in the Titanic where the elderly couple's in the room and the water's... That was us.
The mechanics are running.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So that was our excitement.
But we
had some fine folks come. I won't say the name of the company, but they're very, very reputable heating and air conditioning company, and they came out, and the guy was really nice, and everything was pleasant.
Well,
so
very cool.
It was good,
Happy Boxing Day to everybody.
And, this show goes out to Muhammad Ali, the great.
As usual, we have the WRT Celebrity Boxing Tournament going on. It's on Twitch. You can watch it. I think at 2 o'clock, SD's going to take on John Craniac.
Yeah, that makes me Twitch.
12 rounds, no holds barred.
It's always no holds barred when it comes to SD.
That's so true.
That's why she's so popular. She says whatever comes to her mind.
Well, sometimes we'll be talking to Esty, and we'll be disagreeing a little bit. And then when it gets to a certain point in the discussion, she goes, "You know, I could kill you with a paperclip." Right?
That's when we sit up and pay attention.
You make a very good point.
That's an excellent point. The pointiest point I've ever seen.
Well, she had the Israeli military training. You know.
Yes, I know. Yeah. She knows that one little nerve in your neck could take you out.
Little Mr. Spock.
Exactly. Well, today is also the feast of St. Stephen.
Yeah.
The proto-martyr.
Even Stephen,
yeah. And
he's the patron saint of things balancing out.
Exactly. Yeah. No, he's the guy that was killed by the Romans.
He was that guy.
That guy. There's a lot of that going around, back in the day. Anyway, but
Why'd they kill him?
Well, because he loved the Christians. You know, it was all about the Christians.
Oh.
And we hate the Christians, right?
Yeah,
back in the day.
They've always been oppressed. They're still oppressed.
Are they oppressed now? Yeah, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, they are.
I thought they sort of ran things, from my point of view, but anyway. Well, I don't know. I was thinking about that this morning in the shower, of all things. I was thinking, you know, it doesn't have to be moralistic to point out that the people who are on the extreme right today just don't believe in our system of government. They just don't. They don't believe in tolerance. They don't believe in the Enlightenment conception of objective knowledge. They don't believe in religion not being the project of the state. And they're basically like, you know, they're what they are. Right? I mean, you're rejecting the whole premise upon which our society was founded.
Right. I mean, a big part of what, you know, the ideal version of the United States, America, that we're taught is that everybody has their opinions and people can be individuals and you don't have the state telling them what they can think and what and it hasn't always obviously been that way in practice, but that's the ideal. But there's none of that on the right. It's all, you know, you think the right way or you're a demon.
So the sad thing is I watched King Charles give his Christmas message.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big fan of kings, right?
Right.
I mean, it's no kings for us. That's that's the United States. This guy was like, got it. You know what I mean? Like he gave this speech and he was talking about the strength in diversity. He was talking about like working together, communities. He was talking about respect. He said resilience in the face of adversity, peace through forgiveness, simply getting to know our neighbors and by showing respect to one another, creating new friendships. So it's like we have to have some, you know, inherited monarchy in another country tell us what it's like to have a decent society. It's kind of sad.
Yeah.
We should be talking about that, right? I mean, we should be the ones message of peace like this.
We had to have a rich guy like FDR come in and say, hey, we should have Social Security, you know?
Yeah. And, do you know Kimmel was on British television, too? I don't know if you heard about that. They do this tradition in England. It's kind of saucy, right? That's the little sauce boxes over there. Little saucy. They have the king gives his annual message, his Christmas message, right? Or the queen back in the day. And then they have often a comedian or some celebrity that gives like the other side, you know? And so Kimmel was actually asked to do this. Like in the past, Stephen Fry did it one year, that kind of thing. And he talked about what was going on in the United States. And he said, I just want to let you people know here in England that tyranny is booming in the United States right now. So he had a whole message. It was on their Channel 4 there, BBC Channel 4, where they get some high-profile person, often controversial, to do this kind of counterpoint to the monarch's annual address. And so he said, he joked around. He said, I do know what's going on over here, and I can tell you that from a fascism perspective, this has been a really great year. Tyranny is booming in the United States. So, good Lord. So you got the guy with the inherited wealth and position, the very concept that we rebelled against as a nation, saying diversity, fairness, rule of law, these are great ideas, you know. In the meantime, we got an American saying, and by the way, back in my country, not so much.
Yeah. Wow. Friend of mine sent me a story.
I gotta read this.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Esty called. She just called, so she's listening to the show.
Oh,
thank you, Esty. And she said it was actually Tony Castaneda that she invited to fight, but he chickened out. I love it. Thank you, Esty.
Oh, that's funny.
Now we're going to hear from Tony in a few minutes, I'm sure.
It's Boxing Day. Let's all get
along. Yeah, let's all. Yeah, right. So, a
friend of mine sent me a story out of South Carolina. A South Carolina man facing a DUI and patrol car theft charges. Patrol car theft.
That's hard to say.
That's always a good one when you're drunk to steal a cop car.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I like the picture of him, by the way, too. I can't share that with the people, but
he's a thumb with a beard.
He's a thumb with a beard.
They all look like a thumb with a beard.
Oh, dear God.
But anyway, so he told the judge, I'll call Donald Trump if I have to.
Oh, heavens above. Isn't he paying attention?
Trump is very concerned.
If he wants to donate to the ballroom, maybe. I don't Hey, here's a bit of positive, interesting news. The mayor of New York, the upcoming mayor, Zoran Mamdani, is going to be sworn in on the 1st of January, which is a nice way they do it. So, you know, new year, new mayor. And he's going to have somebody there to help him out. It's going to be Bernie Sanders. Mr. Sanders is going to stand with Mr. Mamdani side by side, the two Democratic socialists there on the steps of the city hall for the swearing-in ceremony. Mr. Mamdani's team predicts that 40,000 people will be there. So check it out. Public event will follow by about 13 hours, the official swearing-in ceremony. And Letitia James, you know that noted criminal Letitia James, she will be there, the Attorney General of the State of New York, to administer the oath. And I didn't realize this, but the mayor has to actually swear three things. And this is interesting. I didn't know this. He has to swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States.
Yeah.
He has to swear to uphold the Constitution of the great state of New York. And he has to swear to uphold the Charter of New York City.
Wow.
So, and no backsies. Yeah. So
he also has to agree that Die Hard is a Christmas movie. That tripped up a few of them.
Yeah, my dad put that in there, I think. That was his, he always thought that was a Christmas movie. Hey, you want to watch Die Hard? Yeah, okay. I guess. I told you that story, but one of them, I don't remember if it was Die Hard 1 or not, but one of them, there's like, you know, like a plane gets blown out of the air, and then something happens to a dog at some point, and my mother was like, why did they have to show that?
I'm right there with her.
Yeah, it's like, Mom, they just blew a plane out of the air.
I don't care about
and,
that.
And her response was, well, they probably did something bad.
Yeah, I'm with her. Okay. Leave the dogs alone.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a site you can go to that I think it's called something like, does the dog make it, or do they kill the dog or something.
Oh, yeah,
you can look up
yeah.
like movies and TV shows.
Yeah, sure.
And it'll tell you right then, because you know, if you're squeamish about
yeah.
Dogs being killed. And,
yeah.
And I am.
Right. No,
and,
I know.
And, you know, and it's like, because it's a cheap trick by the writers all the time.
Yeah.
They'll have the dog.
But you're ground zero for why it works.
Well, they'll have the dog in there. And right. when you see the dog, and if it's like a mystery or, cop show or something, you know immediately, okay, the dog's going to be at least threatened here. It's going to be, but I don't want him to kill the dog. So now what?
The great sage and seer that I am, I accurately predicted that Tony would call. And Tony did call. Tony Castaneda, long time, here at the station. He called and said that it's true. Esty did challenge him, but he heard she has a black belt. So Tony's prudent. He's not gonna duke it out with somebody with a black belt. So he opted out. But he did challenge her to a game of checkers, and she still hasn't accepted that. So, Esty, it's up to you now.
Okay. We have a WRT checkers tournament.
That would be wonderful.
That would be fun. Have it at the High Noon or someplace.
But
I've always wanted to have a Mellon Floyd rock, paper, scissors tournament.
Oh, heavens.
In public. We'd like go to some big, someplace like the High Noon where you got a lot of space and bring a bunch of the minions in and have them go at it with rock, paper, scissors.
Should talk to She Must Be Obeyed about that one.
That would be fun.
That's one we could actually do, unlike that. Unlike that time we did the Family Feud thing. They're still talking about that.
I don't remember that.
You know, I'm not surprised. I keep trying to forget it.
Kennedy Center Christmas Eve jazz concert canceled after Trump name added to the building.
Oh, man.
Planned jazz concert at the Kennedy Center, a holiday tradition dating back more than 20 years, has been canceled. Yeah. The show's host, musician Chuck Redd, told the Associated Press he called off the performance after the White House announced last week that President Trump would add his name to the facility.
I don't want to personalize everything, but when I saw him do that, all I could think of is when I was 5 years old and my younger sister, in purple crayon, wrote her name on my tricycle. So it was one of those red and white, like it had a little fender on the front for the front wheel, right? And it was red and it had a white space.
Yeah.
And she had this purple crayon and she scrawled her name on there. And I remember my mother is like, Did you write your name on there? No, Mommy. You know, it was like, who did this? Somebody's trying to frame her, you know? That's, all I could think of is like, that's what we got as a president. My 4-year-old sister scrawling her name on my tricycle.
When Melvina was about that age, we were walking around Oregon, and there's this field, and it's got this big hill on it.
Sure.
It's kind of over by the hockey arena, if you know Oregon at all. But anyway, it's a pretty good size hill. And I asked Melvina, what's the name of that hill? And she goes, it's Melvina Hill. Like, of course it is. So again, that's what we're dealing with.
Yeah, it's charming when you're like a kid.
Right.
When you're like 79, it's less charming.
Did you see? I don't want to talk about him too much, but
who?
Him.
That guy. Yeah, we all know. We all know who you're talking about.
But they had this thing. I don't know what they were thinking, but they had him talking to children.
That's not going to go well.
Luckily, it was over the phone.
Oh, okay. So, all right. Okay.
But. And he would ramble. I mean, some kid would call and they'd say they were from Pennsylvania. He'd ask where they were from, and they'd say, or someone would tell him. I don't think he asked any questions because he doesn't care about other meat bags. Right? Like, you know, these kids, they don't have any money.
I mean, yeah, no money, exactly.
What good are they? Yeah. But they said they were from Pennsylvania. And it was, oh, I won that state 3 times. Which is actually not true.
No, of course not. That, of course
but,
not.
But in his mind, he won it 3 times. And then,
so he won it the second time. Is the,
yeah.
The
yeah.
other two are correct, yeah. I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then he talked to one kid about how the military was tracking Santa. To make sure he wasn't a bad man or something. Or
what?
It's like he can't talk to children.
Yeah.
I mean, but the worst one is this. He was talking to this girl, and he said, "You sound very cute and beautiful. How old are you?" She said, "I'm 8."
Yeah, too young.
Yeah,
too old. No, I just, yeah, he doesn't. I mean, his children kind of reflect that, right? I mean,
yeah.
They're awkward and eager for love, right? I mean, they're like, "What's going on here with dad?"
And then they did pay Melania to be there too, but they had this Christmas tree, and she was like sitting on he was sitting on one side of the tree, and she was like 180 degrees away from him on the other side of the tree, just swallowing small rodents, I think, is what she was up to.
Yeah, well, she was worried about those ruby slippers.
The house was going to fall on her.
Those slippers are mine.
You know, a lot of people have bad dreams about having to take a test or falling or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Hers is that a house is gonna fall.
That's why she wears this big hat.
I love the big Zorro hat.
Those are wonderful
because it's like a little demilitarized zone.
Yeah.
for Donald.
Yeah, he can't kiss her. He's got to turn his head sideways.
Yeah.
And if you looked at him, he really can't turn his head sideways.
And she can block him with the broom.
No. That's very smart of her.
Yeah.
I admire that ingenuity, actually.
North Dakota has a new mining bill.
Okay.
And I think they approved it. Yeah, it's a new law. The bill accidentally lists fake minerals based on the coal lawyers' names.
What?
It's a bill about coal in North Dakota. And it mentions the minerals freesium and stralium.
Mm.
Apparently references to Christopher Fries and David Straley, attorneys for North American Coal, who were, quote, closely involved in drafting the bill and its amendments. So what they did is they just gave the text to this to the legislature, and they rubber stamped it.
Right.
And but there's like fake stuff in there.
Well, everybody knows those are actually different isotopes of scamium. So
that's why you have to go to Greenland, right?
That was in the news. Did you hear
that? They're full of freesium.
Yeah, it was in the news this week that they appointed a guy. Oh, who's being a special envoy.
He's from Louisiana.
To Greenland. Yeah, it's the former Governor Jeff Landry. Of Louisiana. He's a big ally of the president. And he, as soon as he got there, he said it was an honor to serve. And then this is a direct quote, to make Greenland a part of the U.S. So they're not giving up on that. It appears to be the first time that the U.S. has ever appointed a special envoy to Greenland. And, of course, both the Greenland regional government and the Danish government are not happy about this. The Prime Minister of Denmark, Mette Frederiksen, said, "You cannot annex other countries." Well, we beg to differ. And the Prime Minister of Greenland, a man by the name of Jens Frederik Nielsen, said, "Not even by invoking international security can you do this. Greenland belongs to the Greenlanders. And the United States must not take over Greenland." You know, one thing about this that I think is interesting, though, it's a mute testimony to the fact that all of these liars and their lying friends know that global warming, climate change is real, and that those glaciers are going to melt. There's going to be a Northwest Passage. There's going to be a lot of mineral wealth there. They wouldn't be so hot to get it unless they actually believed that it was going to be valuable in the very near future. So and not only is it like horrifying, it's kind of a Putin-esque thing, but it also tells you what liars they are about, what they think about what's happening with global warming.
Right. Anyway,
we promised 50% less spittle. I saw that. I did have my seasonal antibile injections too. I just want to let you know. So if you got any positive stories, I'd be happy to Happy to entertain those as well.
I've got a birthday that a lot of the Minions might enjoy.
Oh, what's that?
Today in 1917,
okay,
Rosemary Woods was born.
Oh, Rosemary.
American Secretary to Richard Nixon.
Yes.
And her claim to fame is that she, quote, accidentally erased part of the Watergate tapes.
Yeah. The most important part, surprisingly, coincidentally.
Yeah. And it was great because there's one of the greatest pictures in photojournalism. They set her up to she wanted to show how she could accidentally do it.
Yeah.
And she had to stretch like Reed Richards to because you had to touch, push like three buttons.
So her toe was on one side of the picture. Yeah. Pinky was on the other side.
It was stretched out like a bird.
Yeah,
this is how I accidentally erased 17 and a half minutes of this.
Because this is part of my daily exercise here.
She was born in Sebring, Ohio.
Oh.
Another Ohio person.
Yeah, yeah. You got to watch out for those people.
So, happy birthday, Rosemary Woods.
All right.
Happily erasing tapes up in heaven. Hey, we got 12 commandments on here, Rosemary. Can you knock off a couple more?
Yeah, really. I know which ones I'd get rid of. Hey, chatbots.
So it says not to covet your neighbor's wife.
Yeah.
But what about his daughter?
Yeah, well, all right. Now we're getting into seamy territory here.
Just a loophole. Here.
Yeah, just looking for loopholes. Okay. That was the famous W.C. Fields line. Mm-hmm. Apparently, do you remember this story?
No.
W.C. Fields, the famous mid-century comedian, he was near death and he was looking through the Bible. He'd always been very irreligious.
Sure.
And somebody said, "What are you doing with the Bible?" You know, he's laying there in the bed in his last days and he said, "Looking for loopholes."
Doesn't his tombstone say, "I'd rather be here than Philadelphia"?
Philadelphia, yeah, exactly. So a pair of studies published this month in the journals Nature and Science found that a short interaction with a chatbot powered by artificial intelligence could meaningfully shift some people's opinions about a political candidate or an issue. So having a brief conversation with a trained chatbot proved roughly four times as persuasive as a television ad, one of the studies found. So the findings suggest that AI could play, not surprisingly, an increasing role in political campaigns, including in this year's midterm elections. According to David Rand, he's a professor of information science and marketing at Cornell, who worked on both of these studies, this is where there's going to be the frontier of innovation for political campaigning. And I have to say that I can't think of any, collection of words more terrifying than that. The frontier of innovation. Yes, yes, yes. Innovation. That's the word for it.
This is how this stuff always works. When they come up with it and they're trying to sell it and trying to get everybody to accept it, it's one thing. It's like, this is going to make your life easier. This is going to, it'll make your work so much better. It'll help your career. And then when they really get it, it's like, oh, yeah, we can mess with you and get you to vote for a turnip or something.
It's going to make life easier for somebody.
The turnip has good ideas, though. He's just gone a little too far.
The turnip has withstood the test of time. During the experiments, researchers used versions of commercially available chatbots. It's nothing fancy, folks. It's stuff right out there on the market. OpenAI's ChatGPT, Meta's Llama, and Google's Gemini. And then they instructed the chatbots to lead participants through conversations that are trying to persuade them to support a given candidate or an issue. And, this has been something that people have been worried about. And so, pesky scientists want to find out what the results are here. Well, they did find out that the AI models became more sophisticated, they could give a substantial persuasive advantage to powerful actors. So, the New York Times, actually, after the story broke, tried contacting OpenAI, Google, and Meta, but they did not return the calls. They were too busy taking over the world. So.
Remember when Google used to have the slogan, "Don't be evil"?
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, now they're pro-evil. But they'll convince you of why that's a good idea for you, the consumer.
Just log on to Gemini. Yeah. Or Copilot or somebody.
You know, there was that fake video. Remember the one there was the food stamp recipient? I don't know if you saw this or heard about it. Yeah, it was on TikTok in October, and it appeared to be a interview. A television reporter was asking this woman about her SNAP benefits, and she was saying that you know, she likes to get them because she sells them, which is illegal to get the money to do other things. And of course, it created this gigantic, you know, furor, and people were, you know, that, you know, hundreds of thousands of people were vilifying her as a criminal, and you know, this is why we can't have this. And of course, it turned out now that it was all fake. It was Sora that created it. This is the OpenAI's new app, and you can pretty much do anything with this thing in terms of manipulating reality. And so there was no such interview, there was no such individual, and yet they managed to generate ire and negative attitudes towards the which is a perfectly reasonable program, which probably does, like any program has, have some residual level of, you know, chicanery going on in, but nothing that, you know, cost-benefit analysis to be that upset about. Mm-hmm. But yet, they put this out there, and of course, people were all outraged, and it was all fake.
Wow.
But of course, the fake part of it, you know, the only people who are going to be saying that are like you and me, right? Meanwhile, all these people, I saw it on the internet,
you're,
you know.
You're fake, too.
You're fake, too. Well, I am fake, but that's...
I'm finding it more and more disconcerting as this stuff becomes more realistic and more available.
Yeah.
It's like I can't tell what's real anymore.
Yeah, and, that's the idea.
You know, and I think there was a famous video. Was it a bear jumping on a backyard trampoline or something that, you know, everybody in the world shared with each other, and it turned out it was just AI. I mean,
well, I just, this was scary. I just recently watched a thing by Rowan Atkinson. It's a sort of a takeoff of his Mr. Bean character. This is like the next iteration, not quite as, you know, moronic, but still a basic idea. And he had done things called Man versus Bee. And then for the Christmas season, they had a thing called Man versus Baby. And I looked at that baby and I thought, that baby's not right. Yeah. And like, there's something funny about that baby. And indeed, it was an AI-generated baby based on motion capture. So there was an actual pair of twins that they used to set the scene for it. But the baby was doing things that the baby could not have been doing as a baby, like facial expressions and movements that were paralleling things that, you know, he was doing. The interaction between the baby and the dog was unrealistic. So I could see right away, just like knowing how babies act, that's not quite right. But I went online and found out, it's an AI baby, basically.
Yeah. Well, sure. But I mean... But we're at the beginning of this. I mean, in 5 years, you won't be able to tell.
Yeah, no, I won't be able to tell, exactly.
That's not a baby. I mean,
So
it's very very disruptive because I feel unmoored. I feel unmoored from reality.
We already don't trust one another to an incredible extent. I mean, that's the basic problem in our society right now. And now we have even more reasons to have background distrust.
Yeah.
So
Or you can get something like the SNAP video, and it affirms your pre-existing prejudices.
Yeah.
I'm going way out on a limb here, but I'm guessing that they portrayed the SNAP recipient as a black person.
She was a heavy black woman, yes. Yeah, so all the ding, ding, ding.
She getting her Cadillac.
Yeah, I know. It's so predictable and yet so persuasive. Do you know, this the biggest story this week, and to my mind, and again, I know we're not exactly being filled with holiday cheer, but the horrible things, not surprising, but horrible things that Stephen Miller said. He basically said that not being sociable and being a predator on society is genetically determined. He said, you know, people that are the children, the offspring, even though there's tons of studies that show this is utterly false, but the offspring of people who come from, you know, societies that are like, you know, more violent and so on, these people are going to basically propagate it once you let them in. Their children are going to be like that too because it's in the DNA.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, can we just call that what that is? I mean, there's a name for that. I know we don't. I know they like to use the R word, but they don't like to use that R word, you know. This is interesting. A caller calls in and said, Trump isn't real. So he's an AI generation, and they can make him say whatever they want. I think he says whatever he wants without that. But I wish that were true.
It's a flawed large language model. He only knows about 80 words.
Yeah, I know. But he does rearrange them colorfully. So maybe that's the key there.
But, I mean, he could die. And they could replace him with AI.
Well, that's a good point.
And
like Big Brother in 1984. Is he a real person or not?
We wouldn't know, yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't matter after a certain point.
Right. So, I mean, because the actors that are actually making these things happen, these Stephen Millers and the oligarchs, they're still going to be there.
Not
to be negative.
I have to say, though, if he is AI listener, I have to say that I want to know what company it is, because that's the cruddiest AI. Like, really? I mean,
fix the orange.
Exactly. I mean, you were saying about, large language models I get, but small language models, that's not cutting edge.
Beautiful scum. Terrible.
He also repeats words as intensifiers.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, pretty, pretty, pretty good kind of thing, It's like there's a glitch in that guy's head.
It was like Max Headroom or something.
Yeah, exactly.
But I loved his little holiday message where he said, Merry Christmas to all you scum.
I mean, the thing is, in some respects, if you got in a time machine and went back even 20 years, you'd be laughing your butt off. You're like, what the hell? This is a parody. This is Idiocracy. Right. This is a parodic or satirical movie or something. Yeah. Like, people actually put up with that and think that's okay, you know? But apparently, roughly 40% of the population thinks that's normal. So, whatever.
Well, a long time ago, Floyd and I wrote a political play, a spoof, and one of the right wing candidates who was pro life was advocating the death penalty for people who had abortions.
Yeah.
I've actually seen that in real life.
Oh yeah,
now. A former National Football League sideline reporter, Michelle Tafoya, is considering running for the U.S. Senate in her home state of Minnesota. She met with GOP groups in D.C. to explore a potential bid for the Senate. Aside from working for NBC, she used to be a sideline reporter for Monday Night Football and on NBC for their football. And she has a podcast.
Of course she does.
So a sideline NFL reporter running for Senate in the great state of Minnesota.
You know, the thing about this, all these influencers running for office, I mean, we're in the belly of the beast. I mean, we're idiots, right? I mean, like, I couldn't administer my way out of a paper bag. I wouldn't put me in charge of anything.
So, well, that's like the
we know this is a bad idea.
I think we mentioned this last week, but that Oingo Boingo guy is quitting his job because he said, I want to go back to my broadcast. I mean, it's a lot easier and it pays.
Bonzino or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Bongino.
And he wants to go back to his broadcast because it pays 10 times as much and it's easy. I mean,
Make it up.
You just show up and run your mouth.
Which we love.
We're in favor of that. So, hey, that reminds me, we got to mention to the listeners, got a special treat today in quotes.
This is the lump of coal in your stocking. It's
beautiful coal.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Clean, beautiful coal.
You should get that in your stocking, kids.
You really should.
That and your one pencil and your one doll.
No, you're allowed to have two pencils.
Two pencils?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We really are doing good.
Yeah, that's great.
But no, the Jaguar's gone this week, and so I'm going to fill in as the musical host.
Wow.
I haven't done a music show here in probably 15 years or more.
Yeah, so. And it's going to be all the stuff from 15 years ago.
All bangers. Oh, older than that. All bangers. It's going to be great.
Well, it's a good thing you didn't put me in charge of the music.
And you just play like
Strauss.
2.5 hours. Moonlight.
Wagner.
We'll play some Wagner. This goes out to S. Miller at the White House.
If it's not in German, we're not playing it. I'm sorry.
but no, so I'm going to sit in here for 2.5 hours. You're going to sit in with me for an hour or
As I was telling Lainey, I majored in wacky sidekick when I was an undergraduate. So
that'll be fun. So stick around and listen to that. It'll be different. But be a lot of little power pop songs and British pub rock from the 70s and 80s.
Oh, really?
Just a lot of other good stuff.
So. That sounds great.
Yeah, so it'll be fun. So stick around. All right, we have to take a break, play some announcements, and then we're going to come back with...
Our atomic clocks are out of sync, apparently.
No.
Yeah.
Wind them up.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. They're 5 millionths of a second off.
Oh, no wonder I was late today. And I've got a story about ancient incorporation papers.
That sounds lovely.
I didn't know you'd get so excited.
Hurrah!
An ancient LLC. All right, we're going to play some announcements, then we'll be back in about, I don't know, 2 minutes.
I love to laugh. I don't care, darling, about your thoughts. I just want to satisfy your
thoughts. Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in-Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Bernie's Rock Shop, located at 901 East Johnson, and our new shop, Bernie's on Park, at 636 South Park in Madison. We offer handmade silver jewelry as well as unique mineral, crystal, and fossil specimens from around the world. Store hours and more information available at berniesrockshop.com.
And we're back. Got an email at the Mel and Floyd mailbag at melandfloydmailbag@gmail.com from Starla. She says, hey, could you please give a birthday shout out to Emily? She listens to you guys religiously. Well, thank you, Emily, and happy birthday to you. So thanks for listening. So, Pants is still running around somewhere. He ditched me during his... during the break there, so I'll try to find something here we can talk about. I can't talk about the ancient incorporation papers because he's all excited about that. So, let's see, the Persian Gulf is turning red. That's the water in the Persian Gulf is turning blood red, and this isn't something out of the Bible. It's a natural phenomenon. It sparked wild claims, though, that God's biblical plagues have returned as flowing red blood surges in the Persian Gulf. It's a place called Hormuz Island on Tuesday captured the moment when pouring rain along the coast hit the sandy grounds and turned it into a deep reddish color. The rain flowed over cliffs, flooding onto the ocean and transforming the sea into something out of an apocalyptic film. Many sightseers walked along the shore as the blood-red tired washed over their feet, and others stood with their umbrellas. So that's just another sign of the coming apocalypse here. What's going on here? Oh, we got a new flu variant is spreading. As a surprise, flu shot rates fall. It's a K-flu variant. Health experts are warning that this winter's flu season could be severe. Flu cases are rising now, but it's not too late to get your shot. And if you don't mind, you know, Bill Gates tracking you or whatever. So, Pants is back.
What is that?
I'm taking that with me everywhere I go now.
Oh, it's cheers.
It's an air horn with cheers. Yeah. Whenever I show up, I feel I should have the appropriate response. I was out at the WRT outhouse. That was right. Yeah.
Got the little moon.
Yeah, the little half moon there. Yeah, a little quarter moon.
Sears catalog.
Yeah, you bet. Corn cobs. That's what took me so long.
My grandparents had outhouses on their farms.
Yeah. I did growing up. Yep.
We had a.
It just seemed like a normal thing.
Yeah, it was just very normal. My mother, to my mother's credit, my mother always tried to. She was the original lipstick on the pig gal. She put little curtains in her outhouse window, and she had a little picture in there and everything. Oh. But that was, you know, we had different outhouses. There was one that was really bad. I remember one day it was out there, and the door blew off while I was there. And, of course, our house was against the side of the mountain, and so the outhouse was in the side yard. That one place we lived, that was a shack we lived in, and of all the places we lived in when I was growing up in Kentucky. But that one, it was right next against the hill. And so inevitably, my mother, this was a rule that whenever company was supposed to come and they didn't show up, she'd say, I know, I'll just go use the outhouse because because it's like right there in the side yard, so everybody could see her coming out. But that day, the door blew off, and I was faced with this.
Were you in there?
Oh, yeah. And I was faced with this conundrum. I can either get up and pull the door back up, or I can just sit here and wave at the passersby. So I pick waving.
Yeah. That sounds like you.
That sounds like me.
Hi, everybody.
How's it going? Well, I kind of teased the story. It's actually they fixed the atomic clocks, but they did. They were off briefly. Some of the atomic clocks that the U.S. keeps were affected by a wind-induced power outage. The clocks were off by 5 millionths of a second, but you probably didn't notice it because, of course, the impact was minimal. However, there's a lot of stuff that depends on our atomic clocks being right, and the idea that just a little too much, you know, wind is going to make a difference is a little disturbing. Atomic clocks are used as a reference point for everything. Mobile phones, GPS, there's aerospace applications. But apparently, the government's atomic clocks are in Boulder, Colorado, on the campus of the National Institute of Standards and Technology. I'm surprised they haven't defunded that yet. But this is the federal agency that oversees the Internet Time Service. And there were high winds in Colorado on Wednesday. And as a result of that, a generator failed, which caused a delay of about 5 millionths of a second. And that's again, in atomic clock time, that's actually important.
Sure.
Just to remind you, this precision is important for scientific applications, telecommunications, and infrastructure synchronization. And I hadn't realized this. I mean, I thought about GPS and stuff, but apparently bank and stock transactions also are accounted in terms of millionths of a second.
Hmm.
So, and even email, apparently, in terms of keeping track of these things. So atomic clocks are not ordinary clocks. They're not, you know, they're certainly not wind them up. They don't wind them up. They use lasers, little microwaves, and other kinds of gadgetry.
And like the decaying.
Yeah, and they basically to extract timing impulses from cesium atoms. Yeah. So that's what you have, these cesium atoms, and basically you have pulses that come out of them, and you can use different kinds of things to basically stimulate the pulses. So the clock is so accurate that if it had started running 100 million years ago, it would be off by less than a second today. This is according to the National Institute of Standards and Technology, or you can have a windstorm in Colorado. In which case, it's all over.
Okay. And just a reminder, all that department you mentioned, it's going to be absorbed in the new Department of Numerology.
Oh, so. Is it indeed?
Yeah. Okay. Numerology and phrenology.
Yeah, phrenology. I'm so glad they haven't forgotten phrenology.
Well, you know, I mean, back in like the early 1900s, enemas were a big deal.
Indeed.
So maybe we're gonna maybe RFK Jr. can.
Well, that was the whole idea of castor oil, right?
Castor oil,
because it makes you go. It's a laxative,
yeah.
And they thought you had like a, you know, if you have a bad child, thinking they're kind of poopy is not a surprising diagnosis.
Get the bad stuff out of
there. Bad stuff out. Yeah, it just makes sense.
And then drill a hole in their head.
I'm just asking questions here. Does it sound sensible to you?
I know it's cruel, but I do love seeing some of the implements they used to use to quote, treat, especially people with mental illness.
Yeah.
One would be, it was kind of like a big swing, like a centrifuge kind of thing. They'd spin them around and get the evil spirits out of them.
Well, you know, I think it's in the Twin Cities that there's the Museum of Questionable Medical Technology.
Yeah.
If you know about anything about this, listener, call in. What's funny about that is I once had the occasion, one of the times that companion and I were in Amsterdam, to go to their actual Museum of Medical Technology they had there, and it was pretty questionable. it was like, okay, so you did what with what to what? All right, but you know, what's really fascinating, this is kind of gross, but it was really fascinating, is the different kinds of knives, because one of the only ways they could deal with things like cancers and gangrene and stuff like that was basically to cut off the offending part. Yeah. And so they had different kinds of knives and little scythes and things like that, all shaped to various body parts, you know, because you'd have to excise those things, and sure, you wanted to have the kind of cutting implement that was appropriate for that part of your body. So, but anyway, yeah. Forward into the past.
Very popular with your little AI there.
Yeah, right. That's the best I can do.
All right, you got excited about this when I mentioned it. Archaeologists discovered a 4,000-year-old company deed, essentially incorporation papers for a company. Like this was in, it's modern-day Turkey.
Yep.
And from the Middle Bronze Age. It's this says it's 6,000 years old.
Yeah. So it's where we get all of our religious rules from. What is it about the Bronze Age you guys love so much? I don't understand.
Oh, so let's see. It's called the Kanish Archives.
Okay.
And it's the first company structure that they've found. It's a limited company, so it's essentially an LLC.
Yeah.
The tablet outlines, it's a big tablet.
Yeah.
And it outlines a massive venture with specific parameters. The capital is a massive 15 kilograms of gold.
All right.
The shareholders, there were 12 partners who contributed varying amounts.
Yeah.
And then they had a manager.
Sure.
Amur Ishtar, I loved his movie, was appointed to oversee the capital.
Yeah.
They had profit sharing
sure.
for the managers, not for the slaves.
Or yeah, yeah. Or as we call them today, Amazon workers.
Fulfillment workers.
Fulfillment, I love that. Oh, God. I feel so fulfilled.
I got my X-Men comic.
Yeah, exactly. I think they were making abacai. That was they were abacuses. That was their.
Is that it?
They were cutting edge of technology.
Industry.
Yeah, there, yeah. So. AI. It's like, really AI. Watch these little beads. They'll solve all of your problems.
And you had to stay in it for 12 years, the investors. And if you didn't, they would just pretty much take all your money and throw you out the door.
Yeah.
So
it was. That's why we created civilizations, people. There has to be some third party that enforces contracts. That may even be why we invented writing, because we want to write down our promises.
Yeah.
We want to write down our promises. We want to write down our crazy, you know, fantasies.
Expectations.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, a lot of the times when, you know, archaeologists find stuff, it's just like lists of things. It's like, you know, we have this much cloth from somebody.
Yeah, and yeah,
we
yeah.
got this much corn from somebody.
Right. Yeah. A lot of especially from ancient Egypt, you have a lot of inventory lists that have survived. Yeah.
They wouldn't have corn, I guess.
Yeah. But, well, they'd have wheat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Interestingly enough, in British English, corn was actually the word they used for wheat.
Really?
Yeah. That was, and then they called American corn maize. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, corn was used. And in fact,
that's why they make the corn mazes.
The so-called corn laws in the early 19th century are about wheat. Yeah.
Really?
The distribution and pricing of wheat. So that's, that's corn laws. Yeah. Now, here's a very strange thing. This is hard for me as an American to understand, but apparently after that terrible slaughter in the Australian state of New South Wales, of which, you know, Sydney is the capital, new laws were passed on Wednesday that restrict gun ownership. Just does not compute for me.
How'd they do that?
I think they need to give more guns to everybody.
Yeah.
See, that way we can all shoot it out.
Right.
But no, the state legislature of the state of New South Wales, which is in, of course, southern Australia, this legislation came just 10 days after the country's deadliest mass shooting in like 30 years. 15 people dead at Bondi Beach in Sydney. And it's just the first, they figure, of a slew of activity.
The slate of laws was passed at 3 a.m. after lengthy debate on Wednesday. The premier of New South Wales, a person by the name of Chris Minns, acknowledged that they were extraordinary measures and said they would be controversial, but he also said that they were proportionate and necessary to keep the public safe. And here's a quote from at the press conference that Mr. Minns gave the next morning. Sydney and New South Wales have changed forever as a result of that terrorist activity last Sunday, and we're going to do something about it. The new laws afford the police broad powers to prohibit and disperse protests for up to 90 days after an incident has been declared terrorism. So
they were talking about gun laws like the very next day after that happened. They implemented a gun buyback program.
Sure.
And they did that like almost immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, so they're responding to, to something that happens here once a week or more often.
Right.
And then that we just shrug and say, I don't know.
Well, can you do?
It's just nature taking its course.
Well, that was, I mean, again, not to get into that whole stew, but that was one of the things that the late Charlie Kirk actually did say, you know, it's the price we pay for living in a free society is that some people get shot, which is always easy when you're talking about somebody else.
Right. Ancient humans mastered fire about 400,000 years ago. That's a long time. I didn't realize it would go back that far. But scientists in Britain say ancient humans may have learned to make fire far earlier than previously believed. They uncovered evidence that deliberate fire setting took place in what is now eastern England around 400,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm. They also had fire departments back then, too.
It was in England, so they did it so they could boil their food.
These vegetables are too flavorful. Something terribly.
Can't we boil them for a couple hours?
Something terribly wrong here.
They're crunchy.
Yeah, what? They taste like something.
But this pushes the earliest known. So it's probably a little sketchy information here at this point. But probably controversial. This pushes the earliest known date back 350,000 years. Until now, the oldest confirmed evidence had come from Neanderthal sites in France from about 50,000 years ago. So that's a big jump. I would need some pretty solid evidence that it was that much farther back.
Yeah. Hey, I have a heartwarming story from here in Madison, Wisconsin. So about a week ago, a friend of the show, Samara Kalk Derby, who writes for the Wisconsin State Journal, she's a restaurant critic for the journal, wrote a story about the Williamson Street restaurant Baraka. And she was reporting the owner there, a person by the name of Marcus Ragasa, has owned this place in various forms over the last 33 years. So we're thinking we may have to be closing. And here's the thing that happened after she ran that article is that after the article ran last week, in the days subsequent to the article running, the place was packed.
Really?
Madisonians showed up en masse to go into the restaurant and basically support the business, support the local community businesses as we need to do in these days and times. So the owner decided since the story ran, it's been really overwhelming and heartwarming. They're deciding not to close. So they said it was like a new grand opening. I have no words to express it. So the owner, I'm very emotional. It's the support and the care of this community that this community has for small businesses. So hurrah to people in the Willie Street area. Hurrah to the Near East Side. And hurrah to Samara, who, of course, is...
What's the name of the restaurant again?
It's called Baraka. Okay. And it's an orange building that's on the... what would that be? The 1200 block, I think it is. Of fabulous Willie Street, it's 1210 Willie on the Madison's Near East Side. So pop on over there if you are so minded, and thank you Madison, thank you East Side for stepping up and doing the Madison thing and helping out.
Another local restaurant story. Burnell's is Madison's first woman sports bar. And it's named for the proprietor, Rita Adair's late wife, Burnell Hooker, a collegiate basketball coach and advocate for women's sports. It's located on the east side in the former home of Knuckle Down Saloon. And Burnell's they're going to keep booking blues musicians, which Knuckle Down did. So. Humans rank above meerkats, but below beavers in monogamy. They have a listing here of the latest monogamy rankings here.
And again, we didn't win.
So scientists studied the percentage of siblings that are full siblings.
Okay.
So please don't go to Florida and do this, because you're going to be very confused. But the California deer mouse was the most monogamous. It had 100% of siblings that are full siblings. The African wild dog, 85%, so quite a jump down there. A mole rat, an Ethiopian wolf, they're around 75%. Eurasian beaver, around 73%. And humans, 66%.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. The white-handed gibbon is about 63%, so that's the next closest one to us. Red fox was at 45%.
Oh, he was terrible.
But he was notorious.
Yeah, right. He knew where he was going. Did you ever hear any of his records? My parents used to listen to some. They were so blue. I mean, it was just like back in the day. I mean, you'd listen to those things and it's like, oh my God, what is he talking about? Here's a great story about Wisconsin. If stereotypes and state track records are to be believed, one would expect that Wisconsin probably spends more than other states on alcohol. However, a recent analysis by Smart Asset found that Wisconsin residents actually rank near the bottom of the country for average spending on alcohol annually. And so
it's cheap here.
I was going to say, you just stole my punchline. We're buying the crappiest stuff, obviously.
Buy some Woodman's vodka. Yeah, yeah.
Pop off by the gallon. Based on data from the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis, or Smart Asset ranked how much residents 21 or older spent on the consumption, private consumption of alcohol. And Wisconsin residents spend about $793 on average, which was 38th highest of the 50 states. Hmm. Now, the ones that actually spent more, I kind of thought maybe this would be true. We're talking really two states that are really very lonely states, so Alaska and Wyoming.
Oh, sure.
I kind of expect that a lot more is going to be spent there. And you probably can guess without even trying. Well, no, I shouldn't put you in this situation, but which state has the least expenditure?
Utah.
Very good. Okay, you got it. Yeah, they spend about $606 per resident.
Yeah, when they get really wild, they crack open a Diet Coke.
Yeah, I know. Well, they're not supposed to have caffeine.
I know, that's what I mean. That's when they let their hair down.
Straight to Mormon hell.
They go to Vegas and have a Pepsi.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't tell anybody. Yeah.
Spooky Mormon hell.
I don't know. I'm still surprised Wisconsin ranks so low on that. Because in Wisconsin, you go to the liquor store and you buy a 12-pack, and they say, is that to go?
Yeah.
A New York attorney has sued the IRS, hoping to claim her dog as a dependent on her taxes.
Oh, God. Sounds like something my mother would have done.
Amanda Reynolds seeks to claim her 8-year-old golden retriever, Finnegan Mary Reynolds.
couldn't have Peppy or something. No, of course not. Finnegan Mary Reynolds. Okay. All right. Excellent.
Oh, she wants to claim Finnegan Mary Reynolds as a non-human dependent under U.S. tax law. She states her dog is entirely dependent on her for survival.
Yeah, she thinks that. The dog lets her think that. Didn't your dog get a credit card one time? Or credit card offer?
Yeah.
Got a credit card offer, yeah.
Yeah.
Was it Maggie?
It was Maggie.
Maggie
got a credit card. Yeah. Yeah. Well, they were sending them out to like everybody back then.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I think you'd taken Maggie to the vet or something. It must have got in the system or something. I think that could be.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Maggie.
Somebody was combing the medical records.
Yeah, and then she maxed it out. Bad dog. Yeah, bad dog. No.
They get so excited so easily.
Well, because somebody comes and rings the doorbell when they deliver stuff.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's what it's all about. I get it now. Hey, real quick.
At least it wasn't the cat, though, because the cat would, like, just... you know, sell your house and set up a reverse mortgage for you.
And then play with you till you died.
Yeah.
Just real quickly, I just want to mention, you may know this already, a coalition of 19 states Tuesday of this week sued to block the Trump administration's plan to strip federal funding from hospitals providing gender-related care for minors. Yeah. So.
All right, it's time for us to declare the weekend. Enjoy your Boxing Day weekend.
Yeah.
It's about 40 out there now. I haven't been outside for a while, but
yeah, it's oppressively warm.
Yeah. You like it cold.
Yeah, right? I do.
So. All right, well, just a reminder, I'm going to stick around and I'm going to do the Jaguar Who Cooks for You, do the music show for the next 2.5 hours, and Pants is going to stick with me
a little bit
for about an hour.
About
or so.
An hour, yep.
And so yeah, we'll have fun. So stick around, listen to that. After that, then it's Labor Radio and Amy Goodman. I'm off my feed here because I can't say the Jaguar is next.
Yeah,
so,
no.
So, but the Amy Goodman, Democracy Now!, Labor Radio, Blues, Friday on My Mind, all kinds of great stuff here on your favorite radio station, WORT. Pants, was great to see you.
Yeah.
And
we'll see you very shortly.
We'll see you in about 2 seconds here as we change hats here. It is just about 2 o'clock. You're listening to WRT 89.9 FM Madison. Thanks for listening. Have a great week, everybody. And again, stick around, and I'm going to be spinning some discs for you here for the next 2.5 hours. So.
Thinking of losing that funky feeling, don't because you got you.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, December 26th.
That's the sound of Honk for Democracy outside West Town Mall from Saturday, December 6th. 5 people turned out at 11 a.m. to hold signs that read Honk for Democracy. In the next 50 minutes, 475 cars honked for democracy. 3 people gave us the finger and 1 thumbs down, but you can't make everyone happy. Here's Jill talking about what brought her out to the protest.
I'm really disturbed about the way things are going in our country right now, and I'm really worried every single day. So I sometimes feel helpless, like there's nothing to do, but I thought, well, I could stand out here for an hour once a month and hold a sign. Maybe it'll make people think about it more. I hope it makes people feel like there's a community that's growing, that is like, this is wrong.
And then when you come out here and do this, how do you feel?
I feel good. I was a little nervous at first because I didn't know if people would be angry, but overall we've gotten a lot of positive waves and honks, and I think the message is just a really positive one, and I'm sad to say I've taken it for granted my whole life, you know, that democracy would be in this country, and now it doesn't feel that we're that democratic.